Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'd like to know if there are any announcements. I know we have several that are out today. Jenny and Jonathan are traveling with Leah. Golf tournament?
Yeah.
Golf tournament? Nationals? Mm-hmm. For Leah. And the Bryans, the Bowers, the Murphys are gone. Gracie Joe is being baptized this morning. We're at Naming Attend Church. So, but we're glad to have everyone that is here.
I do have an answer.
Huh?
I have one.
Oh, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Ed Wittenberg, he had some surgery last week, and he's doing great. I had a rough couple days, which you would normally expect with surgery, but he's doing fine. He just wanted to let everybody know that and to thank you for the cards and prayers and all the love on him. So,
okay, great. Okay. If there are no other general announcements, we'll go ahead and do the lighting of the candles. To welcome Jesus, the light of the world, and to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Do we have any other prayer or praise request? David's already given us an update on Ed. Joanne?
There's a lady that works with me, and she found out this week that she has stomach cancer. And she went to the surgeon Thursday to see what all can be done. So we'll just kind of keep her in the prayers.
Okay. Are there any others?
I visited my daughter and her family this week, and please, I want to put Kate on the long-term prayer list. She's been struggling with symptoms for over a year. She's really worn down. She's leaving her job, but they don't have a diagnosis. And she's just really worn out. I was surprised at the change in her. So I want to put her on a permanent prayer list.
Okay. Katie Oakes. Anyone else?
Dear Lord, we come to you right now, Lord, and we ask you to be with the people that have been lifted up, Lord. You know the names, Lord. You know, Lord, what is going on in each individual case, Lord. Lord, we just ask you right now that you would bring comfort to those families, Lord, to those people. And Lord, just bless the rest of this service, Lord. Bless us as we go throughout our week. And now, if you would all join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Before we stand, I also wanted to mention that Tyler Baxley was in a triathlon this morning. So that's where Jennifer and Dave and Sylvia are. So we're kind of proud of him for getting into that. If you'll all please stand for a call to worship. I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul will make its boast in the Lord.
The humble will hear it and rejoice.
O magnify the Lord with me.
Let us exalt his name together.
Will find a solace there.
Our call of repentance is taken from Psalm. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. A prayer of confession and silence. Amen. Our words of assurance. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears.
Turn to page 461. Offertory word of blessing comes from Psalm 34, 8 through 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do not lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. If the ushers will please come forward.
Because you are the Lamb who was slain, and you've redeemed us and put us on this path to heaven, all by your grace and none by our works. And so we come this morning just recognizing that all good things come from you. And we come this Pentecost Sunday recognizing also that the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within us, to lead us, as the song we sang said, to empower us to do your work, to enable us to worship even. Let us thank you, dear Lord, for all of these many gifts that you've given to us, including your monetary financial provision. So let us now return to you a portion of these tithes as an expression of our gratitude. Please accept these tithes and gifts for your honor and your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cling to the old rugged cross.
well. I think this is the first time I've been worship leader since the new projection system's been installed, and I would personally like to thank the technology department, because this way I don't have to turn around. I can read it off the back wall. So that's great. Do we have any children for children's time? We have Emily and Reagan that's prepared to do it, but I don't think we have any small children.
I'll listen.
No, we're not going to get there. I could do that too. And I can remember Jim getting up one time when we only didn't have any. And I think that's when Andrea was doing it. Anyway, there's no children's church today. I don't think we had anyone for that. So Mike is going to be delivering the sermon today, and we really appreciate that.
Well, I'm all thrown off.
I'm sorry. I'm good.
Deborah, go sit down. Okay. Thank you. Kind of changing it up a little bit this morning. Not going to be using PowerPoint. This is called Prezi. So, as some of you might know, there was a conference at church this weekend, or a seminar on discipleship. It was put on by the CE committee, and they went over a book by Francis Chan called Multiply. And the reason Francis Chan wrote this book was because he sees the need in looking at the Great Commission and looking at the teachings of Jesus for discipleship, and that was one of Jesus' main focuses, was discipleship. That could also be seen in the fact that he had 12 disciples that followed him closely, and that he told them to go out and make new disciples. But I want to start with Pentecost, because this 50 days from Easter, and today is Pentecost. So what is Pentecost? I forget that y'all can't see my computer screen. I have to do it up here too. So what is Pentecost? Pentecost is the day that Jesus told the disciples to wait on. He said, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, for a gift from God. And that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they went out into the streets and began to preach. And I'll go to that scripture. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And I've highlighted that there were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, because when you think of speaking in tongues, you think of some sort of like blah 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 blah, and someone over here is going to get up and translate, and then, you know, that's how you think of speaking in tongues, is some language that no one can comprehend except the one person that's going to translate it, or the multiple people that's going to translate it. But what it was that day was other languages. It was the languages of the people from Rome, Greece, Israel, Judea. So all those people were able to hear. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit right there. the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit gave power to the apostles, and they were able to communicate. So what happened when they started doing this, people started criticizing them. People were wondering, what's going on? Why can we understand these men, these Galileans? Why can we understand them? So people were like, are they drunk? What's going on? But Peter stands up and he says, these people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And I tried to make a joke with this in the first service. It didn't go over too so well. I was going to say, if the Holy Spirit can move at 9 in the morning, it must be powerful. It ain't moving me at 9 in the morning. If it does, then... no, it will. So anyway, and he goes on to say, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we move further on in the chapter. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great Lord and the glorious day of the Lord. Well, the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Further down. So Peter goes on to talk to the crowd, and he tells them about how they, along with the Pharisees, were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, and he tells them all about Jesus and what he did, gives testimony to why this is true. And so eventually the crowd is stunned, and you know, I think it says something about like their hearts, they're cut to the heart or something like that, and the crowd, so they're stunned and they're like, what can we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So, when we become Christians, when you accept Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what this day kind of commemorates, is that the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is what the significance of Pentecost. So, as we've seen, the Holy Spirit can move in many ways. The Holy Spirit was powerful enough to bridge the gap, to bridge a language barrier between the disciples and all the people in that region. So, that takes us into today, I want to backtrack a little bit, actually, to what happened between Easter and Pentecost. So there's a 50-day gap in there. And for 40 days, Jesus was with the disciples preaching and sharing with them. And I want to do this because in this 40 days, at the end of this 40 days, actually, Jesus lays out the Great Commission, and that is what we look at when we look at discipleship, is the mandate where Jesus says, go and disciple, go be disciples. So there's two places that I came across in Scripture, one from Acts and one from Matthew. Obviously the Great Commission means of Matthew. Acts 1:1-9. In my former book, Julie, I already forgot, Theophilus. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He said this, and he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So moving on, we see the Great Commission in Matthew 28:16-20. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So we see there in Scripture the command, the mandate to be disciples and to make disciples. So this is straight out of the book that the CE committee used yesterday, something they talked about in their meeting. So what comes to mind when you think of Jesus' command to make disciples out of all nations? Many read these words as if they were meant to inspire pastors or missionaries on their way into the mission field. But have you ever considered that maybe Jesus' command is meant for you? So here's another quote directly from Paul, which also comes out of the book, but it's from Ephesians 4. "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So essentially what it's saying is that what my dad does up here every week, what Jonathan does, is he equips the saints, y'all. And something this church actually does a very good job of, being the saints, because the church, it's our job as a church to do ministry. It's the job of the congregation to do ministry, not to just come and be ministered to, but to do ministry. And I think we do a good job of that already. So Francis Chan goes on to talk about, where is your heart at? And it's important to have a right heart when discipling people, or when you wish to disciple someone, to be willing to do it, to be grateful that you're doing it, not just to do it because this is what the Bible says to do, or this is what God says to do, not just for those reasons, but because you want to praise the Lord when you're doing it. And I was thinking this morning, because in the first service we do the doxology, and the doxology goes really well in the first service when Jonathan is here to lead it, because I think he's the only one that actually sings it, and we just don't realize that because he's so loud. Because the doxology started this morning, and I think we didn't even pick up on it until the second or the third verse. Well, the second or the third line, somewhere in there. So our heart in the first service, we were not into the doxology. So the doxology essentially had no meaning. Its magical way of bringing the tithes forward wasn't there this morning. But so it's just a reminder just to check where your heart's at when we do this stuff, because we do have these things that we do week to week that are very good things, like the doxology, but we get sucked into them, and so our heart needs to stay in them, because we get set with them just being there, and we forget that we need to be joyful when we do that. So Francis Chan goes on to remind us that a lot of people, that it also, when it comes to people's hearts being in the right place, that some people do stuff to be seen. And the Bible talks directly against that, you know, doing stuff, doing something that your right hand doing something that your left hand can't see or something like that. So it says that a lot of Jesus' harshest words were reserved for the Pharisees. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So I keep looking at my computer screen trying to control this, and they're not connected, so. But anyways, if our hearts aren't in the right place and we're doing these things just to be seen or just to be holy, just to have a holy look about us and to look perfect to the world, that's not what's important. It's important sometimes to get, you know, to not worry about how you look, because what God cares about is your heart and when you're helping people. Because sometimes we get caught up in the way we look, and we forget that it would actually be better to help someone instead of look a certain way. And so that brings me to love, because love is the most important part of having your heart in the right place to do discipleship. So it is important to remember that everything we do is worthless without love. And there's a scripture here. "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails." So love is important to have in our hearts when discipling, because if we have love, we can do, like, I forget the exact verse, but it's talking about if you love, then how can you do something against your brother? So if we love, we have to do, and obviously we can't do all this perfect, but if we love, then we can't, lost it. If we love, then we can't delight in evil. So we, as Christians, as disciples, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what I want to tie this into, with Pentecost being today and them talking about disciples yesterday, is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit So even though we come to church to get fed, we come to church to get fed by our pastor, by our spiritual leaders, we are the saints. We are prepared fully now because the disciples and like that were prepared to speak a different language. We're prepared to minister to all of Jerusalem. So we are prepared now, and it is our calling to go out into the world and make disciples of men and be disciples. So I'd like to invite the musicians to come at this time. And I'll go ahead and close this with prayer, and they can play us out. Lord, we come to you right now, Lord, and we ask you to make us better disciples, Lord, so we may make disciples, Lord. Lord, teach us to love, Lord, as you loved us, Lord. You sent your Son who died for us, Lord. Lord, teach us to love like that, Lord. I pray for all the prayer requests, Lord, that were lifted up today. Lord, for all the members of this church, Lord, for Gracie, Lord, as she comes into the family, Lord. Lord, just be with us as we go throughout the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's on page, or hymn 330.
So y'all go enjoy your day. Remember, make disciples, be disciples, and live out God's calling in the world, because the church may be here. This may be a church building, but you are the church. So live as the church in the world, because Christianity does not happen inside these walls. It happens outside of them. In Jesus' name, amen.